Appearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and Joint Chiefs Chairman Martin Dempsey told lawmakers they can continue to defend the country under declining defense budgets, but at a higher degree of risk, and only if Congress agrees to go along with a package of cost-saving measures that are already proving unpopular. The budget includes proposals to redirect funds to military operations and readiness through efficiency proposals that aim to save $93 billion over 5 years, and another set of pay and benefits changes that would save about $30 billion. Just about every element of the package had at least one detractor on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator Kate Hagan, a Democrat from North Carolina, was particularly bothered by the personnel recommendations.
The department is laying out a number of proposals that would negatively affect military compensation. While I understand the significant fiscal challenges that the department faces, we just can't seek to balance the budget on the backs of our service members. These proposals include a lower pay raise, increased out-of-pocket costs for housing, lower savings at the commissaries, and increased TRICARE fees. I'm particularly concerned about the combined impact of all of these benefit cuts.
But defense officials say at least some of their needed budget savings will have to come from pay and benefits, which they say have grown in cost by 85% since 2001. Dempsey says he believes a majority of service members would be okay with the changes to their benefits as long as the reforms happen in a single package rather than year-by-year tinkering.
It pains me to hear the characterization of balancing the budget on the backs of our servicemen or women. I mean, this weighs heavily on all of us. The fact is that the manpower costs can be anywhere from a third to a half of our budget, and we're trying to find about 10% of what we need to balance the budget out of that account, and 90% of what we need out of the rest of the budget. So we've been extraordinarily careful not to take some kind of templated approach to this. It's been very carefully managed.
But even members who expressed a glimmer of willingness to consider pay and benefit changes opposed making them this year. On Tuesday, Senators Saxby Chambliss and Tim Kaine introduced legislation that would forbid any military benefit changes until the congressionally mandated Military Pay and Compensation Modernization Commission issues its final report next year. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who says the compensation system does need some adjustment to make it more sustainable, also says now's not the time.
I want to compliment you for putting all these tough issues on the table. Whether or not I agree with each proposal, I hope the Congress will back you up as to how we sit down and look at future retirement benefits, grandfather everybody, but whether or not you should be able to retire at half pay for the rest of your life when you're 42 needs to be put on the table. That's why I'm waiting on the commission. When it comes to TRICARE reforms, when it comes to looking at everything, including commissaries, count me in reforming the military. Count me out when it comes to gutting the military.
Defense officials also got pushback on their plan to reduce the size of the Army to between 440,000 and 450,000 soldiers, including suggestions that DOD had not taken adequate steps to trim its civilian and contractor workforce first. But Undersecretary Bob Hale, DOD's comptroller, says the department is planning to cut its civilian force by 5% over the next 5 years, and further reductions are complicated by Congress's unwillingness to go along with DOD's own proposals, such as another round of base realignment and closure.
We need your help here. The way to cut civilians is BRAC, because if you get rid of a BCT, you don't get rid of civilians. You close the base where they work. If you no longer need it, then you can get rid of them. So if we're going to see sustained reductions, we need your help in allowing us to close unneeded infrastructure.
DOD's budget does request another BRAC round in 2017, but if the last 2 years of budget history are any guide, the proposal may be dead on arrival. New Hampshire Democrat Gene Shaheen repeated two common points of opposition on Tuesday.
I certainly strongly disagree with another BRAC round at this time, and I think for a couple of reasons that we really need answers to before we can go any further on this discussion. One is, last year at our readiness subcommittee, I asked John Conger specifically about the timeline for the delivery of a report on our installations in Europe with respect to our infrastructure there. And while I know that's a sensitive issue right now, it seems to me if we're going to be making decisions about base closures here in the United States, we need to have a picture worldwide about what we're facing and that Europe is part of that picture. Secondly, I don't think we've heard adequately about the cost of another BRAC round and how that would impact on our ability to save money over time. So we know that the last round cost about $14 billion more than was anticipated.
DOD's budget documents do acknowledge that a new BRAC would carry some upfront costs. But Hale says the closures would begin generating cost savings beginning in the year 2020.
Another round of BRAC would be very different than 2005. It would be aimed at saving money. It'll probably cost, roughly based on historical precedence, about $6 billion. We'll save $2 billion a year in perpetuity. And if we don't do that, we're basically wasting $2 billion a year. We need your help on this one.
Pentagon officials also heard strong objections to their cost-saving plans, dealing with the scaling back or cancellation of weapon systems, particularly from senators whose states host large numbers of platforms on the chopping block. New Hampshire Senator Kelly Ayotte was among those who decried the Air Force decision to completely eliminate its fleet of A-10 attack aircraft.
To eliminate and phase out the F-10 before even we have an F-35A, which will perform presumably close air support effective, which will not be operational till 2021, you have it all phased out by the 19, and so therefore we have that gap there. To me, this, of all the things, when we talk about priorities, when we hear Air Force officials, and I've heard similar concerns from those on the ground, that lives will be at stake, why aren't we preserving that priority over other priorities?
Dempsey argued that close air support mission can be conducted by several other types of aircraft, but that the A-10 decision was ultimately budget-driven. In order to achieve the kinds of savings DOD needs, he says, it needs to retire entire models of weapon systems, not just reduce their numbers.
I'm probably one of the few people in the room that's actually had an A-10 come to my rescue, so you don't have to convince me that it's been a very extraordinarily valuable tool on the battlefield. What you're seeing play out here is some of the very difficult budget decisions we've got to make. In the Air Force, the chief staff is trying to reduce the number of airframes so that the tail, the logistics tail, the infrastructure tail, is more affordable. In the Army, I'm sure at some point we're going to have a conversation about going from 7 different rotary wing platforms down to 4. It is the kind of decision we actually have to make in the current budget, with the current budget pressure.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.